when we start from a place of I'm okay versus a place of brokenness or something's missing or I'm not enough. Developing that mindset that you're already perfect and you get to evolve in whatever direction makes sense to you, that's an awesome place to be. And who knows where we can go. I always say, I really want to see how good I can stand it.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, oh my gosh, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode. And I have to be honest with you, I'm still recovering. This last weekend, I spent just 4.5 hours with my grandkids. And oh my gosh, where they get that energy from is just awesome and amazing. And it's fun to be with them, but I'm also still recovering. And that has nothing to do with my autoimmune. I think I would still be recovering regardless of what, because I really think I'm in a pretty awesome place right now. Yes, I still say, yeah, there is that diagnosis. I know. I listen to the medical professionals say, Sharon, you're not cured. I'm like, I don't care. I'm feeling awesome. So that's all that matters to me. I really, the words are meaningless to me. It's how we feel and what we do with ourselves and our lives that's important. And I'll tell you, even though I'm still recovering, I wouldn't trade those 4.5 hours for the world. Just the enthusiasm and the curiosity and the creativity that little people bring into our lives and remind us is so amazing to me. And this is going to be, as I know my guest is going to kind of laugh at this segue, but this person also, I think, is creative genius. And he brings such insights into my world that I had to have him on. He's so busy. I've been pestering him for a few months, to be honest, but we finally got him because he's just an awesome, awesome person. His name is Dr. Gance Ferrance, and he is a speaker, author, and coach, as well as a registered psychologist. And since the early 90s, we call him Dr. Gance, by the way, has been helping individuals, couples, families, and corporations beat burnout, reduce their levels of stress, improve relationships, and enjoy more success. And I could go on and on. He's just got an amazing bio. But today, I really wanted to talk to him about a couple things. He is awesome in helping us break through our limiting beliefs. He's really good at helping people uncover how to make decisions too, because oftentimes with an autoimmune, so many opportunities sound great, and trying to go, okay, which one is best for me is critically important, because I've had some amazing people with amazing bios tell me things, but intuitively, I just knew maybe that's not right for me, yet I was getting so much outside pressure to make their decision, the decision they wanted me to make. So anyway, Dr. Gance, thanks for being on the show. I'm so thrilled to see you.
You too, Sharon. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and I just have to say, everyone, isn't his voice awesome? I could listen to Dr. Gance forever. Anyway.
Well, hopefully it won't be forever today, but yeah.
I know. We just have a quick 53 minutes together. But anyway, let's jump right in, Doctor. Now, as you heard in that buildup, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is how we make good decisions that are right for us. When we've got a medical diagnosis, as you know, there's a lot of what I put in air quotes, white coat authority, trying to tell us all sorts of things. Yet numerous things happened. And in my heart, I'm sort of going like, I'm sure that works for other people, but that just doesn't seem right for me.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Well, you know, the thing about any diagnosis, or if we're having a crisis or whatever, we are a little bit more vulnerable, right? We feel like we need the help. We need somebody to kind of take care of us and look after us. Totally. And I think it's important to listen to the people with the expertise. But at the end of the day, we also have to factor in what is going to work for us. Because I really do think that our bodies, we have our own unique wisdom. I call it like a tuning fork, right? When I was young, we used to have this old piano. We used to go out of tune all the time, right? So the old school tuner would come in. They have all the tuning forks. They would strike the tuning fork and line up the string and hit the string. And when there was resonance, he would know that the piano, or at least that string, was in tune. I believe we have that in us as well. We have something where we know when something is right, it resonates with something inside of us. And I think it is really, really important to pay attention to that knowledge and that wisdom so that we can know that, you know, even if it may work for somebody else, as you were saying, it may not work for us, or it may not work for us at this time.
So awesome. So true. However, sometimes when we say, thank you, but no, there can be a lot of pushback from not only, in saying air quotes again, the white coat authority, but maybe family, well-meaning family and friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't approve of our decision.
Well, and look at, I really don't think that anybody is trying to plot against us or anything like that. They're not in the basement drawing up plans or anything like that. But they know us in a certain way, right? We've come into some kind of relationship and some kind of understanding and agreement with the people who are in our lives right now. So they know us in a certain way. When we make a change, or we, you know, like setting a boundary is a change, or saying no to something somebody else wants is a change from what they're used to having for many of us. That kind of puts some pressure on some things, right? And they, for humans, we value, we don't know that we value this, but we value familiarity and consistency far more than we value a lot of other things. And so when we start to change some stuff, we do get pushback messages from the environment, sometimes from our own head, but you know, for sure from the people around us who love us and they're well-meaning, they want us to be happy and healthy. But at some level, they also want to feel comfortable knowing that we're doing something that they believe is right for us. But at the end of the day, the true test is if it works for us. Actually, my book, The Me Factor, right on the front cover, I have this question. It says, is this working for me? You have to ask yourself that often and consistently, because by doing that, what you do is you start to pay attention to the decisions you make and make sure that they're being made in a conscious and deliberate way, as opposed to like just doing what we're used to be doing or what people around us want or the pressures that are there. And so, you know, you really want to ask yourself, is this working for me? And answer that for yourself, regardless of what somebody else might think is the best thing for you to do at this time.
Oh, absolutely true. I love that question. It's a powerful question that really requires us to get truthful. Sometimes we can get entrenched in our decision and not realize it. One of the ways I found to help me not get entrenched in my decisions, because I have been known to do that, is to keep my journal. And I've shared this on the show before, is where I only write on the right-hand side of the journal the first time. That's the thoughts and feelings of the day. And then I go back and reread it. Some people say I have a schedule. I don't. I just go back and reread it, 2 weeks, a month, even 6 months or a year later. And I write little ideas and things of what's changed on the left.
That's cool.
Because that helps me reconfirm, like, oh, that was working. Oh, I'm over here now and this is no longer working. And I can reevaluate my decisions easier, because I tend to forget. It's sort of sometimes things go on autopilot.
Well, this is it. And it's funny because this is my journal here, right? I have it right with me. So early this morning before we got started. But yeah, journaling is a very, very powerful tool to help you kind of remember to ask yourself what is happening for you and if it's important. Because, and I love your technique, because you can go back and say, okay, yes, that did work, or no, that didn't work. So it's a great tool for keeping track of and assessing the feedback. This is what it is. It's, if it doesn't work for us, everybody else might be happy, but it still may not work for us, like whether like for our biology or for our relationships or our emotional well-being. When we do that, then we definitely have a chance to see, okay, yeah, this does move me ahead, or, you know, no, it's not. Well, it doesn't work for me right now. Maybe it worked for me in the past, but I can keep track of it and keep things moving. So it's a great thing to do. I journal often, and it's funny because my psychologist that I worked with, she would bug me every week, like, "Are you journaling? Are you journaling?" And I said, "Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that." Right? 2 years I fought her. Right? Then I started writing. It's like, "Oh, this is what she was talking about." Okay, slow learner, but now I do it all the time because it's such a very powerful tool. So I'm glad you do that.
Oh, you brought me into a few times where I fought white coat authority because I thought the intuition was telling me, and maybe it was just telling me not now. I'm not sure. But I've gone back and done things at a different time, and I've gone to that point of like, oh, I'm glad I did this. But I also have to realize I have to honor those times when for whatever reason, I fought back or I struggled or I just procrastinated. And I'm wondering if I just wasn't ready to hear it or appreciate the change. I'm not sure why I would struggle those, but I'm glad you said that sometimes it's okay to circle back and do those things.
Absolutely. And you know, I think for me, it wasn't that I was like listening to my intuition. I think I was listening to my ego.
They sound a lot alike at times.
They do. And you do have to figure out which voice you're listening to. Is it ego or is it intuition? Right. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that, you know, particularly in my world, in the therapy world, where they would be good techniques or good interventions, but the person may not be ready for it, right? I mean, it's great to get insight into ourselves, but sometimes there needs to be room for us to be able to absorb the insight. And we have to be able to take the insight in and not sort of send us off the deep end. So, you know, so sometimes, yeah, it is okay to take a break and say, you know what, that's probably an area I need to look at. Not sure I got the energy to look at it right now. So let me circle back to that when I think I have a little more space in my life or my head.
Absolutely. And I'm going to circle back on the opposite side of that page, because sometimes I get lazy. I do something that's recommended, or I come up with myself, or, you know, I hear on the show or whatever. I do something and I get amazing results. And then I'm feeling so good, I'm just going to cheat today. Or I'm feeling so good, and then today turns into tomorrow. And then all of a sudden I forget what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or forget how powerful it was. And then I go back and I read the journal and I go, that was it.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is one of the reasons that what I tell my clients and why I use the journal is to keep track of that stuff. Cause yeah, you know what? We're human, right? We'll slide, we'll forget. And I don't know what it is about us humans. It's like, oh, that worked really well. I guess I don't need to do it anymore. Right.
Exactly. So. Well, I think I just get a little, I don't know. I some a rebellious part of me just, oh, I'm just going to cheat today. But the problem is when I allow that cheat today to happen, today easily turns into, well, I lived through yesterday and nothing happened, so I'll cheat today too.
Right.
I don't know why that is, but it seems to work that way.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you're making a habit, right, which is what we're doing, right? Anytime we do something that's good for us, we want to keep doing it, we want to keep feeling good. You're actually creating a habit or trying to undo an old habit to create a new habit. And they say it can take anywhere between 28 days to even as much as 6 months of consistent practice, depending on what the habit is, to establish that as natural. Because it's like, if we don't have it, you know, kind of built in as an automatic part of what we do, then whenever we take our eye off it, whenever we let go or we get more cheat, right? It's very easy to drift back to the old behavior, whatever that was, because that's far more practiced than the new behavior. And then we end up in the same hole. But I love the fact that you use your journal in this way to kind of go back and say, oh yeah, now this is what I was doing. That's what was happening when I was feeling so good. And then get back on the horse.
Yeah, it's so easy for me to forget. I have multiple passions, multiple things I love to do, and I just sometimes get busy. I don't think it's on purpose. I just think, you know, I just other priorities, shall I say. Maybe that's my right. own ego talking there, but that's okay. Now, a lot of this is, we've been circling around this idea of our beliefs, like why do we go back to the old habits and stuff? And you talk a lot in your book about hidden beliefs, limiting beliefs, those sorts of things. And I know I bump into those all the time. And I have a saying that people kind of think is strange, but it's really important for us that when we bump into these limiting beliefs, to quit digging. I mean, it's like we're digging a hole with a limiting belief and people keep on digging. And I'm like, hey, even if you can't figure out what the belief is, just quit digging, okay?
Well, yeah, that's it. And, you know, going back to the idea of the question, is this working for me? And, you know, I should say by working for me, I mean, is it moving my life forward? Does it help me feel better? Is it bringing joy into my life? Those sorts of things, right? But I think we ask that of, you know, the pair of shoes we were wearing, what we put on that day, what we're eating, but especially what we think, what we believe, how we act, our behaviors, all of that stuff is up for the same question. And so when you're asking yourself, is this working for me? And you hit this idea of, well, this is how it is because, you know, this is how I've always done it. But is that really working for me? Is that actually moving me forward? Because the mind, your beliefs, what you say to yourself, your self-talk is extremely important. It's extremely powerful. I heard somebody said that, you know, for most people, if they had a friend or a spouse who would talk to them the way that they talk to themselves in their own head, there wouldn't be that relationship, right?
So true. Too sad. Too true.
Right, right. So this is a great place to have that little assessment question and then to use your journal to write this out. Well, why do I act this way? Why do I respond this way? What is this all about? It's like, okay, well, whether I'm not sure why, but it's not working for me. So let me try to figure out what works better. And then you look at, you look for a different thing to say to yourself or a different belief.
I know one time we had a chat and it was, we talked about this idea of, is it my voice talking to me that way? Or is this somebody else in my world? Maybe when I was a child who implanted this because that was their limiting belief and they keep me safe even, or maybe harmful. We don't know, but let's talk a little bit about this idea, how we can discover, is this my voice or is this somebody else's voice?
Well, you know, I think most of the voices that we have are probably somebody else's voice, to tell you the truth, right? I mean, we've sort of adopted them as our own because we've been with them for so long. But we, as humans, we are trained and conditioned at a very young age to try to stay alive, right? To you know, our parents and the people who raised us, they wanted us to do well, and they passed on what they knew. A lot of times it was in good faith. Sometimes, depending on, you know, the kind of parents you had, it wasn't. But the idea is that when you're young, you're very open, very susceptible to whatever those messages are. And this is why, as we get older and as we mature, it is important to go through and be aware of what it is we're thinking, what it is we're saying to ourselves, so we can determine, do I want to claim this? Do I, you know, wherever it came from, whether it was mine or somebody else put it there, is it good for me now? Is it something that I want to claim as my own and keep using as the operating system for my life? And when you can figure that out, when you hold yourself up in your mind and the words, the things you say to yourself, to that scrutiny, then you can be much more direct about, you know, in designing the life that you want for yourself to keep you healthy, keep you happy, help you be productive and successful.
We're going to take a quick commercial break on that thought. So you guys ponder this idea of designing your life. And when we come back with Dr. Gantz, we're going to talk about how do we really do that besides journaling. I'm a fan of journaling and I love talking to Dr. Gantz about that. But we're going to talk more in just a minute about designing your life. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, from that quick commercial break. Oh my gosh, I'm just having an awesome time with Dr. Gance Ferrance, and I hope you are too. I just love all of his insights about reducing our levels of stress and when we can communicate with other people and ourselves. Oh my gosh, my stress level just goes way down. He's all about improving relationships and having successful lives, joy-filled lives, as you can tell. And Dr. Gance, right before we had to take that quick commercial break, we talked about designing a life. And I don't know about you, I grew up in the generation of where family members sort of had plans for you. And as a young female, if I didn't find a husband right away, I was either going to be a nurse or a kindergarten teacher until I could. And so I know that's dating me. Sorry.
Oh, no, I get it. It's still the mindset of a lot of people, unfortunately.
And so let's talk. I did not grow up with this mindset of designing my life. And I am so thrilled that I learned it a long time ago and just said, nope, not going to work for me. This is where I'm headed. But let's talk about designing our lives, especially if it's a foreign concept to us.
Yeah, well, and you're right. I think there is something in our culture, I think, that has us want to be respectful to the older generation. And I'm a big believer in respect. I'm a big believer in, you know, understanding the wisdom of age and experience. At the same time, even though people are well-meaning and they want to have your back and launch you, sometimes it's really for their own comfort level as opposed to what's right for you, right? Parents, like, you know, a lot of times want to launch their kids in a certain direction because they feel, okay, my job is done now. Okay, I'm good. Okay, they're okay, right?
I think that, and I also think it came from a place of love that in their generation, that was a safe place for a young woman to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're looking after you.
Anything else sounded kind of scary to them.
Yep. Yeah. And they wanted to make sure you had what you needed to do to survive in case of anything else, right?
That I was safe.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, safety, like, so what, the way our brain is set up, right? There's a part of our brain, mostly the midbrain and the central brain, which is kind of like the lizard brain and the mammal brain, right? And then the human brain has this other extra brain on top of it, right? And so most of that is designed to keep us safe and keep us out of trouble, keep us alive. But creativity and joy and all those other things, that's a human thing. And that is something that has to fight against these other two brains that are trying to keep us safe all the time. When we do want to design a life that works for us, we have to understand that the messages we got, the training we got, the well-meaning parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, church, media, whatever, that created some of this, some of these beliefs that we have. Thank you for that. And I'll take that into consideration. And I need to follow something that's going to make me happy, because that is where the joy is. That is actually where the success is. So we can, you know, I was thinking about this morning, the old saying, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. We can play safe, but then your life is very limited, and it'll be okay, and you'll survive until you die. But you know what I mean? There's not a lot of joy there. And my psychologist, I've been in therapy about the same amount of time as I've been a psychologist, about 28 years, and I will continue to go because I want to continue to grow. But he said one of the blessings that people get sometimes is a terminal diagnosis. And he says the reason is because when they get that, it wakes them up, and all of a sudden they can pack more life into however many days, months, or years that they have, than they had all the life before that. And so, you know, I wouldn't want us to wait until that happens, but by deliberately trying to wake up and asking yourself, is this working for me? You can get that same benefit. You can start to live your life on purpose, live your life and design your life that works for you in terms of joy and happiness and productivity, as opposed to playing it safe and, you know, I got to stay in the box because this is, you know, there's so much energy around not doing that when I was growing up that, okay, it feels scary.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of autoimmune is not terminal. It's pretty crummy, but it's not terminal. And a lot of it, there is some that does lead to premature death, which is unfortunate. But for me, it was a wake-up call. I radically changed my life 5 years ago. And I'm not sure how I feel about it again, if I'd wish it upon myself, but I think that would take some therapy there. But It did radically change how I viewed my life. But one of the things that it also did was, as you mentioned, it lit a fire under me that several years prior to this, I read a wonderful book called The Wonder of Aging. And he has an opening line in there that resonated with me. And this was pre-diagnosis, was it's that moment you realize the road ahead of you is shorter than the road behind. That's by Michael Gurion from the Gurion Institute. That one lit a little bit of a fire underneath me. But you're right. When I got the diagnosis, even though not terminal, it really made me reassess a lot of areas of my life. And I want to just be honest about it. It wasn't easy. Sometimes here we're talking and it's like, oh, you just journal and you just make that decision of, you know, is this working for me? And bombo, bingo, right. Magic wand, it's all done. But let's talk about this. There are some yucky parts.
Oh, yeah. Listen, this, you know, everything we're talking about is not for the faint of heart. This is not easy. It's not all rainbows and unicorns, right? It's hard work. And there are going to be, you know, a few upset people along that path. Sometimes the upset person is you, right?
a lot of times.
You know, when we do things that are correct for us, it means changing a whole bunch of stuff. It means living with courage. It means being able to say no. Saying no to stuff that doesn't work for us, that means people are going to be upset. You're not going to be able to, you know, whatever, drive somebody to the airport or help them move or, you know, whatever, lend them money or whatever it is that they want to do, or even some of the things that we used to do. And I don't know if you've seen this, but I've experienced this in my own life that I used to be a very, well, I would say I'm a recovering people pleaser. Okay. And I've seen this over and over that the very conscientious, hardworking people who want to make sure everybody else is okay, we are the ones that end up getting sick a lot of the times, right?
Absolutely.
And you know what I mean? And part of that, I believe, is just straight up exhaustion and burnout. Or we've just burnt ourselves out, burnt out our biology, our physiology. And so that's when things start to show up. I mean, whether it's an autoimmune issue, or it might be like diabetes, or it might be cancer even, or you know, substance abuse, whatever it is, when we deplete ourselves, leave ourselves open to all sorts of bad stuff to happen to us. But to change that and to live your life on purpose means that you have to say no to some stuff so you can say yes to some things that are actually important to you, like sleep, like rest or eating or, you know, leisure or different things like that, like your health. And that means that some people are going to be not happy with your choices. Now, what I had to learn was that it's okay for some of those people to not be in my life anymore because, and this is going to sound kind of harsh to some people, but if the people in my life really cared about the actual me and what was good for me and my happiness, they would support that eventually. I mean, you know, initially it might be a little bit of a shock, but they would definitely support me in growing and moving towards more joy, more happiness, more health for myself. If they're not doing that, then maybe it's not an equal relationship, right? Maybe there may be some usage that's happening to us in that relationship. So if I let go of some of these toxic relationships, if I prune them from my life, then that means that the rest of my life can blossom a lot more. And what I've found is it opens up room so that people who are supportive and who are really excited to support me and maybe were waiting for me to have this breakthrough, they all of a sudden show up in my life and my life actually starts to grow and and evolve in that positive direction now.
Oh, I've seen that too. It's so fascinating to me how it happens. And I don't know why I'm always surprised, because it happens every time. It's like one of these days, I'll quit being surprised. I'll just, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to do it. Let it come in. But you're right. And I also think there's a part of us where we put our eyes as what we see. So if I'm saying I'm no longer going to tolerate toxic relationships, I'm no longer going to tolerate, and it's hard to say to some people, especially if they're very close to you in your life. But it's amazing to me then when I start saying, I am only looking for people who care about, it's where it's a mutual exchange of care and love, and it's a mutual, I feel mutually benefited in this relationship. It's amazing how many of them aren't really out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And really waiting for you to grow up, basically. You know what I mean? Waiting for you to kind of click on and say, oh, okay, right? Because those healthy people, they don't want to be around us if we're toxic, because sometimes we're the toxic people, right? And we have to grow.
Well, I think there's all levels of toxicity. I mean, I might say to myself, you know, well, I'm a good person. And then, mm-hmm. but then I realize, oh, my ego was just talking over there. And maybe some people are like beyond that or whatever. And I have to be really honest with myself of how I'm showing up every day. And I'm also finding, and this is just truth telling here, there are certain people that trigger me, and I can become a bit of a snarky snob at times, just because something triggered me to just sort of snap back with some sort of snarky, snide comment.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and it goes back to the question again, is this working for me? Because I've had those relationships where, you know, the other person, generally everybody likes them. They're a good person. Everything is good. Just myself and that person are toxic. The combination is toxic, right? And so it's not that their fault, but clearly that whatever that is doesn't work for me. And so I need to look. I don't want to be that kind of irritated, like angry, sarcastic person, you know, all the time, right? So if I find that friendship or that cousin or whoever tends to bring that out of me. Well, it's not that person. I don't have to try to, like, you know, give them a hard time or try to change them. I just have to recognize, okay, this is what's happening every time I'm around this person. So maybe there's something I need to look at, but also maybe that relationship's just not good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the safety comes from, is us being able to be honest with ourselves. One of the things I want to talk about, though, is in autoimmune, it's very easy to fall into a couple of places where I call victimhood. It's very easy when you get a diagnosis, there's a lot of, oh, poor you, you know, a lot of that kind of thing. It's very easy just to kind of sit back, relax, and play that place of victimhood. It can happen so innocently too. And then one day you wake up and you're like, yeah, no, this isn't where I want to be, because although I'm getting a lot of secondary gain from it, people feeling sorry for me or whatever, it's really not moving my life forward in any positive direction. What are some tips that you have for people when they wake up at that moment? Now, am I playing victim here?
Right. Well, first of all, recognize it's a trap, right? There is a ton of secondary gain. There's all this attention and sympathy and, you know, maybe even like physical stuff that you get, like, you know, food or money or...
But you don't have to vacuum.
Exactly. Somebody comes, cleans your house, right? You know what I mean? So, and listen, we can be very appreciative and thankful of the people in our lives that are helpful and are generous. We also want to recognize that that can be a trap. It can be a trap of, you know, well, in psychology, we called it learned helplessness, right? And so we don't want to get into that place where we feel like we have to rely on everybody else for everything, whether it's emotional or physical. And so I think it is important to look at what is working in our lives? What does go well? What do we still have? And what can we make the best of? Because, you know, at the end of the day, we all have limitations. We all have, I'm 6 feet. I'm, you know, very heavy. I'm like 270, like almost 300 sometimes, right? I would make a really crappy jockey, right?
Probably.
poor horse, okay? So I have some limitations in my life in terms of what I can do. Now, when you have a diagnosis or you have an injury or whatever, your limitations are a little more profound, or maybe a lot more profound. But at the end of the day, we all have limitations. So no matter what, I can sit back and I can, you know, lament over, you know, my dreams of being a jockey and not doing well, right? But that doesn't get me anywhere. What do I do? What do I have that I can use? Now, because of my size, I'm probably a pretty good football player, right? Pretty good basketball player. So maybe I use my energy and do that. There are many people who, when they discover that they do have like an illness or a handicap or whatever, they can then use that to their advantage to say, okay, well, you know what? Now that I have to take my life in this way, you know, Stephen Hawking is a great example of this, right? He said, just preparing for bed, his ALS before he passed away, he was saying that it took a long time, like an hour or more sometimes. And he said he used that time to think about his theories, to think about all this other stuff that was going on. And he came to really relish that time because it gave him the opportunity to work more on his theories and his ideas that he had. So, you know, if we have the right mindset, no matter what comes at us, we can actually see it as an advantage, or at least make it a game to see how can I turn this into some sort of advantage for myself. And, you know, at the very least, even if you can't quite figure out what that is, just being in the game gets you out of that victimhood place.
I love that. I love the idea of making it a game. I do that. I hadn't really called it that, but I do make it a game. Like, how far can I go? And what's the next one or two steps beyond this? Even sometimes that's all it was able to do was, okay, I'm here today. What's my one step beyond this? We need to take one more quick commercial break. And when we come back with Dr. Gantz, we're going to talk some more about this because this is really important stuff for us to understand the part of, I'm going to use the word game, that our mind plays in our well-being. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, I'm just so enjoying Dr. Gantz Ferenc tonight because he is awesome, talking about our limiting of beliefs, the mindsets that can keep us stuck from not seeing our wellness and our well-being, how to get there. Oftentimes, I know I've been there too. I understand when you get diagnosis or diagnosis upon diagnosis and being told by everybody, don't do this now, don't do that now, it feels like it's all over. But I brought Dr. Gantz on to help us find out that it doesn't have to be all over. It might be different, but it's not all over. So thank you, Dr. Gantz. I've been enjoying this, and I want to circle back around this idea of making it a game, because I know a lot of times I can get stuck in what I'll call my adulthood. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be resilient. Yet that, to me, often causes a lot of stress, but making it a game.
That's exactly it. I mean, listen, we need to have that skill. We need to have that skill of being able to push through. It's an important skill, but it's not a way of life. Okay. It's kind of like if you're on a 2-lane highway and you have to pass the car in front of you, you can, you know, hit the gas, you take it up to red line, you pass, you get that big surge of power. That's great. You get in. But then you can back off the accelerator, right? If you're driving your car at red line all the time, your car's not gonna last very long, okay? But when you need it, it's great to be there. And that's the thing. So I there are times in our lives that we have to tough it out and be the adult and just kind of soldier through. But you know, the rest of the time, it's okay to take a step back and give ourselves permission to have our feelings and let those feelings kind of run their course. This is where like good friends or a support group or a good psychologist, right? Really could be very helpful in helping you move through that, because it makes, they can help make the space so you can have that safety and that support to go through that. But once you're through that, then you kind of move on and do be in a more positive space. So it's a mix. You have to have lots of tools in the toolbox, right? It can't just be pushing through, and it can't be just wallowing in, you know, misery or anything like that, or just, you know, kind of zenning out in peace all the time, right? There needs to be room for all of that in our lives in order for us to be balanced and healthy.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Now, what are some other things that you have found? I know you're talking about multiple tools and everything, but sometimes I find just staying in that positive mindset, it's almost like I'm always course correcting. And I don't know, is that normal or not?
Absolutely normal. Absolutely normal. And I think, you know, knowing that you're going to shift and go off course all the time. I like the analogy of the plane. You know, when a pilot is getting ready to take off, they file a flight plan and they figure out exactly where they're going, you know, wind speeds and whatever. By the time they finish filing the flight plan, the conditions have already changed. Right? So by the time they get in the air, different conditions again, they have to adjust. So really any flight that you take is a series of adjustments, but you know, typically people land on time at the right place they're supposed to be and everything is okay, right? And so it's the same sort of thing in life. We can make a plan, we take off, but yeah, we're going to go off course sometimes, but you know, bring yourself back, be gentle with yourself as you bring yourself back, because this is the human condition. This is life. This is how the universe works. So when we shift back. When we shift the other way, shift back. It's okay. If you're more or less on average in that happy place, that's what you really want. It can really also help to celebrate. I say celebration is a fuel for further success is what I say, right? We need to make sure that we're paying attention to the good that we're doing or that's coming into our lives, because as we celebrate that, that actually changes our energy. And not just our mental energy or our emotional energy, it actually physically changes our bodies to be healthier. We have stronger immune systems. We digest our food better. Our blood pressure goes down, right? I mean, everything is healthier when we're in a state of happiness, joy, and celebration. So we can actually train our minds to look for ways and places and events that we can celebrate, because celebration, just like everything else, is a habit that we can develop, we can build, or we can ignore and let it atrophy and die. Mm.
I got a couple questions popping up for me on that one. Sure. The first one is, I know it brought to mind one person who I want to say is stuck in the pursuit of joy. Now, it's like, okay, you know, there has to be a place for rest too, but from one adventure to the next, from one party to the next, to one adventure, it's Is it possible to be stuck in the pursuit of joy?
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. That's a great question. So there are people who, and you know, this was a popular idea way back when. It's like, oh, no, choose to be happy or choose to be in joy, right? And so there's a difference between being joyful and happy and sort of pursuing it, right? First of all, joy can have that excitement to it, but it also, to me, has a flavor of being calm, of being settled, of being at peace. And so I can be in joy when I'm sitting and meditating. I can be in joy when I'm walking in the forest, right? I can also be in joy when I'm at a concert and I'm jumping up and I'm having a lot of fun, right? All those things are joy. So, but if you're pursuing it, there can be a almost like an obsessive quality or a driven quality to that. And it's not so much what we do a lot of times, it's the attitude or the way in which we do it. Because, you know, we can do some good things, like, you know, like meditation, for example, is a good thing. But if we're obsessively meditating, or all we're doing is meditating because we never want to be out of that, you know, quote unquote, blissful or peaceful state, then that's a problem, right? Because there's no sense of flexibility. There's no sense of allowing things to flow in and out of your life in a healthy way, because we have to meditate. Otherwise, you know, something's going to go wrong in our lives. So there can be a really addictive quality to it. So I understand what you're saying, like pursuing joy in that way with that addictive driven nature, that's not healthy. And I'm not sure that's joy. I think that's more of a distraction than actual like peace and joy and happiness.
I think you're right. They think it's all going to be awesome. And an interesting thing is they'll get back and say, "Oh, how was your trip to XYZ?" And it's always some exotic Instagram type place, right? Oh, I thought it would be different. And right. And then some sort of litany of, you know, what they thought. But, and I always find that interesting. I'm like, well, geez, none of that ever seemed like some way that I wanted to pursue my happiness or joy. I felt talking to them, it feels exhausting.
Right. Well, yeah, because they're chasing. Do you know what I mean? They're running after something instead of really recognizing that, you know, wherever you go, you got to take yourself with you. So it's like you have to have that sense of presence, that sense of peace, and know that like whatever it is you want, it's not necessarily out there. You have it, but the conditions that you find yourself or you create for yourself, that helps to enhance it. Because this idea of choose to be happy, we, you know, the idea is, well, happiness is a choice. So just like kind of keep your rose-colored glasses on and just see everything as wonderful, and then you'll be happy. No, you'll be deluded, right? And so that's not what we want. We want to actually engage in life like another human, right? But the idea is that we can create the environment in which happiness and joy tend to be more likely, right? Like for me, I know if I get enough sleep, if I take a break now and then, if I connect with positive people, if I do things that I enjoy, like riding my bike in the trails, or playing basketball, or going seeing a good movie with people who enjoy movies. If I create the environment in which happiness is likely to show up, I tend to be more happy. But I can't choose happiness in the moment. I mean, I can choose how I react to things. I can choose how I see things. But emotions are going to flow in and out. And you know, it concerns me when we have that mindset, because then there's a bit of a judgment on ourselves or on other people if they happen to be sad one day, or if they're not, like, you know, like doing backflips or whatever else, right? It's like, no, you're allowed to have some slow times. You're allowed to have some times where you're not feeling 100%. But generally, are you open to feeling good? Are you open to that celebration? Are you open to creating the world around you? Like we talked earlier about designing your life. Are you open to designing your life that will work for you to support what you need out of it?
Oh, I love that. Designing our life. Great statement. We're down to just the last 10 minutes. I want you to have any final thoughts so that we haven't really covered here that you know is really important for people to understand about this idea of mindset, limiting of beliefs, and designing our life, as well as share with us where we can get your book and find out more about you.
Sure. So I'll do the last part first. So you can get a hold of me at my website. It's askdrganz, G-A-N-Z or Z.com. And same for any of the social media, Ask Dr. Gans or Ask Dr. Gans. So, and yeah, my book is there and other really cool stuff to help you design your life and also keep your life moving in the direction that you want it to, right? I really believe that we are constantly in evolution. Actually, I have this acronym I use called PEP. And this is one of those mindset things, P-E-P. So it stands for Perpetually Evolving Perfection. It's important that we recognize that wherever we are, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are perfect for what we've gone through, for the experiences we've had, our training, our age, all that stuff. Where we are right now, that's perfect. And we get to evolve in whatever direction we choose. So we don't have to do anything to be okay. We're already okay. But if we want, we can evolve in a direction that makes us even more okay, I guess, right? But, you know, and it's a constant thing. We keep going and we keep going. But there's a lot more energy and a lot more fuel for us when we start from a place of I'm okay versus a place of brokenness or something's missing or I'm not enough. So developing that mindset that you're already perfect and you get to evolve in whatever direction makes sense to you, that's an awesome place to be. And you know, who knows where we can go? I always say, I really want to see how good I can stand it.
Right? Oh, I love that. Say it again.
I really want to see how good I can stand it. And I encourage that for all my clients and my, you know, the people I talk to at my workshops. How good can you stand it? Let's see. Let's see how far you can go, because there's no ceiling on joy. And that's something we have to remember.
Oh gosh, I love that. I love that. We say, I want to see how good I can stand it. What happens when other people in our world go, you've gone nuts. Are you okay? What are you on? What are you doing? You know, what weird thing did you just try?
This is the thing, right? It's not, if we truly want to pursue what is good for us and what works for us in our lives, there are going to be times and situations where relationships or things that we used to do are no longer going to work for us. And it might be from our end or it might be from the other person's end, right? We're not going to fit the same way. If I'm growing and I'm evolved on this quest to see how good I can stand it, there's some things that worked for me at one point that are no longer going to work. There's an African proverb that says, on your journey, once you cross the river, abandon the canoe. And it's important because if you're going through the bush, dragging a canoe with you is not going to help your cause any. Right?
The thing that came to my mind is where you've got the canoe on your head, but you can't, because it covers your eyes, you can't see anything. That was the picture that came to me.
You walk off a cliff. Yeah, it's not good. Right. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I think it's important that if you're going to take up this challenge of designing the life that you want and living from your own center and making sure that as you design your life, you're asking, does this work for me? Understand that there's a cost. There's a cost to not doing that. And there's a cost to doing it. Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to have your relationships evolve? Some of them may fall off. Others may show up in your life that you never even knew were available to you. But are you willing to walk that path? Are you willing to have that adventure to see how far you can go and how good you can stand it? Because that's the big thing. That's the question that I think we all need to ask ourselves, because things will change and there's no way about it, no way around it. But I believe that's the one constant in life is change. It's going to change anyway. Do you want to change it in a deliberate fashion, or do you want to sort of just be a victim to the randomness of life?
I like that it's going to change anyway. It's so true. I'm curious, what are some signs that we are a perfectionist? Because I, in all honesty, I didn't know I was till someone said, hey.
You know, one of the big things is exhaustion, right? We can look that at. For me anyway, when I tend to be on that path of people pleasing or perfectionism or whatever, I tend to be depleted a lot more of the time. I tend to be tired. I tend not to have a lot of energy. I'm not as creative, way more irritable. It's one of mine. But the idea of perfectionism, it's really like that black and white thinking, that all or nothing thinking. If I can't do this perfect, then I'm not going to do it at all. Or if I don't do it perfect, then I'm going to beat myself up mercilessly about it so that I can be better next time, right? Any of those things that we tell ourselves, I think those are clues that we're on the wrong path. Truly, it's fabled that Buddha's final words to his disciples were, do your best, right? And I think there's wisdom in that. do your best. That's it. And today your best is going to be something that tomorrow it's not, right? It's going to be different from day to day, from moment to moment. But if we can give ourselves permission to do our best and know that that's good enough.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone, this is Dr. Gans Ferenc. Some people, you might hear him say France, but he goes by either, but it's actually Ferenc. Oh, it's just always a delight to talk to Dr. Gans too. And it's Ask Dr. Dr. Gans, G-A-N-Z from where he is, or Z where I'm from, .com. Ask Dr. Gans. And I'll have that up on the understandingautoimmune.com website on the show description, so you can just click the link there and find out more about him. He's awesome. Find out about his book and all the workshops he leads all around the world. And everyone, join me over at Facebook. I've got a great new, just positive thoughts. Share your positive thoughts over there. It's called Understanding Autoimmune, is where I put all these positive thoughts, and I put up fascinating articles I find on new discoveries about autoimmune and feeling better. And one I just wanted to share, we were talking about shortly ago in a roundabout way, was it was talking about how gratitude can make us feel healthy. And I was like, wow, that one's going up on over at Understanding Autoimmune on Facebook really soon. So you can click on that and read that. It was an interesting article about the power of gratitude. So everyone, have a great week. Join me next week for another amazing new episode. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.